first time preaching last week, and I hear she did a great job. Is that right? Great. Yep. Excellent. And Lord, I just pray you'd add understanding to the reading of your word. One of my earliest musical memories as a child is hearing the Hollies' 1969 song, "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother." And it was recorded and released the same year by Neil Diamond. But I'm not a Neil Diamond fan. I know. But all I can remember from that song is the haunting mouth organ introduction and that line, "He ain't heavy, he's my brother." And Chris told me I shouldn't sing that one. And as I started to prepare this message for today on bear one another's burdens, it ended up on repeat on the playlist in my head. Do you have one of those? Yep. "He ain't heavy, he's my brother." Well, the song was written by two men, Bobby Scott and Bob Russell. They only met three times, and they composed this song together. And it's quite poignant because Bob Russell at the time had terminal lymphoma, and he died 6 months after it was released. So there's a sense there of, you know, companionship in the midst of that difficulty. But the line, "He ain't heavy, he's my brother," has a deeper origin. Father Stephen Boyes writes, "Back in 1918, a boy named Howard Lomas was abandoned by his mother at Father Flanagan's Home for Boys, which was opened just a year earlier. Howard had polio and wore heavy leg braces." And Adrian suggested that I should wear my moon boot when I was preaching this one as an example. But walking was difficult for him, especially when he had to go up and down stairs. Soon, several of the home's older boys were carrying Howard up and down the stairs. One day, Father Flanagan asked Reuben Granger, one of those older boys, if carrying Howard was hard. And Reuben replied, "He ain't heavy, Father. He's my brother." In 1947, Flanagan saw a photo of a child being carried by his brother in a magazine with that same caption under it, and wrote asking to use the photo and the slogan for the basis of his growing organization, Boys Town's logo. "He ain't heavy, he's my brother." Let us bear one another's burdens, and in that way you will obey the law of Christ. Well, our winter sermon series this year is called One Anothering, the Spirit-Filled Art of Christian Community. And we're exploring Jesus' new commandment to love one another as I have loved you by looking at 12 one another sayings in the New Testament epistles and seeing how Jesus' inspirational and aspirational command works itself out in everyday life in practical terms, where the rubber hits the road. And bear one another's burden, and fulfilling the law of Christ for me picks up that love one another as I have loved you. But also it picks up Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount about going the extra mile, about loving our enemies. In occupied Judea at that stage, a Roman soldier could ask you to carry his pack for a kilometer. And it was onerous. And it was the ultimate sign of oppression and the superiority of the Roman army. They could treat you like a slave. They could treat you like a beast of burden. And Jesus says, turn that upside down. Love your enemies by showing them love, by carrying it the extra K, carrying it the extra mile. And as the passage that we had read today finishes by saying, don't get tired of doing good for others, especially for our fellow believers, members of the family. You know, if we could carry the pack of our enemies, how much more should we carry one another's burdens? Let's have a look at this exhortation. We're going to look at it in the context of the book of Galatians, and then what it means and some practical thoughts about how we live it out. And remember, Paul was writing to a church that was struggling with a controversy over whether Gentile believers needed to be circumcised and to obey the Jewish law to be Christians, to be followers of Jesus. And Paul writes to remind and argue that believers have come to faith through the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. That is what has put us right with God. It's not following the Jewish law. And his teaching is summed up in Galatians 5:6, where he says, "For when we are in union with Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor the lack of it makes any difference at all. What matters is faith that works through love." And then Paul had gone on to defend himself against allegations that without the law, that it would lead to believers simply falling into appeasing the desires of their old selves, indulging in their own wants, indulging in the flesh. But Paul counters that. He says that, no, that's not the case, that in actual fact, believers should not focus on their own wants, but the needs of others, that they should serve one another. And in doing this, they will fulfill the spirit of the law by loving their neighbors as themselves. And he goes on to point believers to the fact that they need to not just follow the law, but that they should walk in step with the Spirit. Remember that the Holy Spirit has been given to us to lead and to guide us. And if we walk in the way and the steps of the Spirit, that is the way that will lead us into new life. And by doing that, we will avoid simply focusing on our own desires. And if we walk in the step with the Spirit, says Paul, it will lead us to developing this glittering list of virtues, things that we call the fruit of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then in chapter 6, Paul grounds those virtues in what Richard Longnecker calls a loose collection of exhortations, just a list of concrete terms of what it means to walk in the Spirit as opposed to simply obeying the law. To walk in the Spirit in practical ways, for the fruit of the Spirit to be used in everyday relationships. Let me give you an example that I think helps illustrate that. Our family loves cherries, okay? Christmas is not Christmas unless there is a box or four of cherries on the table. And they will slowly disappear. Well, they will disappear over the afternoon. They'll just go, right? Well, in Rotorua, when we lived in Rotorua, we had a cherry tree in our backyard. And I thought, great. And the fruit looked beautiful. They were really wonderful red, but it was an ornamental cherry tree. And I didn't know the difference, so I picked one and bit into it. And it was bitter. It was inedible. You know, and Chris goes, "Oh, you should have known it was an ornamental one." Yeah, thanks, darling. You know, not just fruit to look good. The thing about cherries is that they are sweet and they are designed to be eaten and shared. Fruit of the Holy Spirit aren't just so that we look like nice trees. They're designed to be consumed and shared among us. And that's what Paul's list of exhortations is all about. Well, Paul's list contains negative exhortations, the ways we shouldn't act. And he says we shouldn't focus on who we are and our own importance and trying to sort of say, aha, we're better than that person. But then there are some positive exhortations. We should be about, if we're spiritually mature, we should be about restoring those who are trapped in sin. We should be bearing one another's burdens, even carrying our own load. and not becoming tired and sowing good seed. And of course, you've got to remember, that's the reason that you have fruit, right? So that seed will be sown and the tree will be reproduced. And not to grow tired in doing good. James Dunn in his commentary says that the Spirit-led life leads us to be sympathetic to others, to love one another, and self-critical at the same time. And I know that's a difficult word because, you know, some of us have this, you know, wrong idea of what that might mean. So it's better to say become self-aware of our own need for forgiveness and transformation. And the exhortation we're focusing on today from this list is bear one another's burdens. And in his book, Love One Another, Gerald Stitzer defines burden bearing as being like comforting. It is a command that helps us deal with people who want to progress on the journey of faith, but for some reason find it difficult. And it's a matter of carrying them along that journey. Now, there's some debate on what is meant by burdens, but in reality, burden simply means anything that is oppressive, anything that is a hindrance to the other person's progress in their Christian faith. Stitzer asserts that modern psychology has the unwanted side effect of making people perpetual victims, that they will not find healing and wholeness, that they can't get past that victimhood. But our faith is in Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus, who is able to bring healing and wholeness.
Amen.
Now, some of my favorite biblical characters are nameless, and they play bit parts in the story. But I love what they tell us. And one of those is a group. And they are the friends in Mark's gospel who take their crippled friend to Jesus. Remember the story that you probably know from Sunday school of him being lowered through the roof to the feet of Jesus? You know, I think they're amazing. And they're heroes of mine because, you know, they carry the burden of their friend. They work at getting around the obstacles between their friend and Jesus. They use their skills and talents, their ingenuity and imagination, their cheekiness, their determination and faith to see their friend come to a place of wholeness. And the guy gets up and carries his own burden out of the place. Mind you, sometimes I really believe that we will need to help carry that burden for a long time for many people, maybe even for some for a lifetime. But carrying burdens can mean actually dealing with entrapment in sin and its consequences, as Paul talks of in verse 1 of chapter 6, and helping untangle people from the web in which they've found themselves, those who may be led off the path of following Jesus or who are actively hurting other people in the community. Paul says the person who's in tune with the Spirit will focus on gently leading them back, restoring them to right relationship with God and with their fellow believers. And of course, gentleness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and that's how it's applied in this situation. And gentleness comes from the same word as meekness, not weakness. Being gentle is not being weak. But if you are meek, then you are focused on the common good, on the best possible goal for a person, and you're not going to be put off reaching that goal by any slight or injury. You're going to persevere, and the end goal is to see them reconciled with Christ and with one another. And Paul also warns us that when we're in tune with the Spirit, we also need to be aware of the trap of sin that has tripped this person up might also be something that we actually need to deal with ourselves. Remembering that experience with the ornamental cherry tree, you know, when you're dealing with someone who's trapped in bitterness and resentment, it's easy to find yourself getting caught up with those same feelings. You know, when you hear painful stories of the wrongs that have been done to someone, you can get angry and have that same bitterness towards the perpetrator in that story, in that situation, and you can lose sight of grace and forgiveness. Carrying one another's burdens can mean sharing in those sorts of that sort of pain and walking through it together in Jesus. Second thing about bearing burdens is that bearing one another's burdens doesn't mean that we dump stuff on each other. You may have found it interesting to note that a couple of verses after Paul talks of carrying one another's burdens, that he tells the Galatians to carry their own load. Did you notice that? Carry one another's burdens, carry your own load. And while the words are similar in meaning, burden speaks of an over-oppressive situation, something that someone actually needs help, whereas load talks of the everyday humdrum demands and weight of life. I don't need to expound that. We all understand that, right? Yeah. Someone might need to have help as they work out of their crippling debt. But the expectation is that they would be able to come to a point where they're able to look after caring for themselves. And carrying the load, in actual fact, really talks about financial implication to it. And the emphasis on financial help and loads carrying helps here to link in what Paul says in the next verse, which kind of seems like it doesn't fit, where he says to share from the good that you have received with those who teach the word. It's one of the earliest pieces of evidence of a demand of a developing, dedicated, professional group of teachers in the Christian church. Paul saw this as a proper and important development, even though his own practice was to support himself in ministry. So he's saying you need to support carry your own load, but there are people who, are set aside for the teaching of the word, so share with them what the good that you have received. Another thing that we need to be aware of is that we can get tired when we carry one another's burdens. You know, we can get tired. We can get tired of doing good. And Paul warns against that. Well, how do we keep ourselves from getting tired of doing good? Actually, to help others carry a load, we actually need to make sure that we are fit ourselves. We're spiritually fit ourselves. We need to take care of ourselves so that we're able to help others. We need to do the things that help us to make sure that our tanks are full, that we're not going to be drained by what we do. You know, we need to look after our well-being. We need to rest. We need to Sabbath, take time to be alone with God, to take holidays. We need a balance in our lives of the things that build us up and the relationships that in actual fact help us to carry our burdens and investing time and energy into helping those who need us to carry their burdens and build them up. We also need to remember that carrying burdens is a team sport. That we often think when Paul writes to us, he's writing to us as individuals. We can suffer from what I call a disease I call you-sing-itis. And no, that's not people who are deluded enough to think that they can sing in church. But rather that when we read the scriptures, and in particular the epistles, whenever we read the word you, we see it as being the second person singular verb, you. Chris says that in her class up at high school, she said to her class one time, "You're doing this," and one of the girls in the class said, "Oh, miss, you're picking on me. You said you," and Chris said, "No, I was using you in terms of second person plural," and the girl said, "Oh, you should have said yous." Yeah, that's helpful. That is New Zealand's way of being able to deal with the problem of first person and singular and plural, right? It's a great way of doing it. I'll remember that. Yeah. But when we read the scriptures, we need to realize that when Paul says you, he really means use. And that bearing one another's burdens is a team sport. We're all called to do it together. That's why I love being part of small groups, because there's this tendency of providing pastoral care for people in small groups. The last thing I want to say is that, caring, one of the things that stops carrying one another's burdens happening is that most Kiwi of reactions to situations that we find ourselves in. You know what it is? Oh, I don't want to be a burden. You know, it's a very Kiwi thing, isn't it? It's a very Kiwi thing. But Scripture exhorts us to help one another. And you know, the most amazing things, and we had a wonderful example of it this morning with Susie and Judy. We had a wonderful example of it. But the things that happen in this church, when somebody expresses a need, the thing that amazes me and often brings me to tears of joy is when somebody expresses a need and there are people in the congregation who meet that need. And you might not be privy to some of those things, but there's some wonderful examples that go through. So you need to remember that you ain't heavy. You're our brother. You need to remember that you ain't heavy. You're our sister. Okay? And we are here for each other. I started this passage by talking about the song, "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother." And I want to finish by quoting, not singing, some of the lyrics. If I'm laden at all, I'm laden with sadness, that everyone's heart isn't filled with the gladness of love for one another. Quite profound, eh? But you know what? That song does not get the last word. Jesus does. We know the gladness that there is of being loved. You are God's beloved. Therefore, let us love one another. You know what it is like to have your burdens carried. Listen to Jesus' wonderful invitation to us. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We know what it is to be loved. We know what it is to have our burdens carried by our Saviour, even at the burden of our sin to the cross. So let us carry one another's burdens, and in that fulfil the law of Christ. Let us love one another as Christ has loved us. Amen. Amen. Amen.